And we are back with another edition of the Brother and Sister Rewatch Podcast. I am Kevin, here alongside my sister, Mary.
What up, everybody?
And we are back to talk about The Office. This week we are doing Season 7, Episodes 19 and 20, Garage Sale and Training Day.
Yes, sir.
Or Garage, as they say in the UK.
Garage
Day. Our UK listeners will enjoy that. So before we jump into this week's episodes, which has a lot of happenings.
Yeah.
These episodes coming up, there's a lot of shit going down. Before we do that, Mary Bear, why don't you let everybody know what we talked about last week?
Sure, guys. So for the first time, I think ever, Kevin has given 2 5 stars in a row for episodes.
I only gave like 3 previously, yeah. Like the whole series.
So. And it was for Threat Level Midnight, where we finally got to see the full-length feature film, Michael's from Great Scott, Threat Level Midnight, and it was fucking amazing. Holly didn't really seem to enjoy it.
Yeah, Holly didn't get it.
She kind of shit on Michael's dreams there until he realized that she was his dream. And then, Todd Packer came back. He's a street caddy. He wanted to come back into the house. He doesn't want to be a traveling salesman anymore.
He wants to be an aristocrat.
Yes, because his wife, or his daughter, he wants to spend some time with her. So he says. So Holly approves it, and everybody's like, fuck this shit. Todd Packer comes back. Hijinks ensue. Yeah. He calls everybody everything.
A lot of misogynistic and homophobic remarks are made.
A lot of fat jokes towards Kevin.
Yeah, dumb jokes.
Everything.
Broads and bitches.
Dude.
It's awesome. Wow. Todd Packer is the most offensive character this side
really
of Eric Cartman.
Is.
He's great.
He really, truly is. And so Jim and Dwight actually, like, he dry humps people.
Yeah, he's sexually assaulting people.
Like, it's not just like, oh, he called me a name. No, like, people are afraid to get down under their desk for fear of being dry humped
yeah, Andy,
by him.
Andy is, like, terrified.
Yeah. But, so anyway, Todd Packer comes back. He tries to convince Michael that, like, she's not the girl for him and to come be an alley cat like him down in Tallahassee. And, Michael chooses Holly over Packer.
Yep.
And Packer goes down to Tallahassee under the guise that he's been promoted.
He has no idea what he's getting
into. And we're gonna see what happens there.
So, yeah, that brings us up to speed.
Yep.
All right. So, this one that we're starting off with here, Season 7, Episode 19, Garage Sale. It starts off, the cold open, they're in the warehouse, everybody who works in the office, they're having a garage sale.
Yeah.
Everybody's, like, selling shit, which, they're doing this during the work day, it looks like.
Yeah.
So, they're not
in
really working.
In an industrial park.
Yeah. It's really funny. But Pam explains that, you know, it's 10 cents of every dollar is going to our party fund, so we can throw parties for ourselves. And Oscar has collections of Will and Grace.
Oh,
and Pam's like,
DVD
"Oh, you're a big
seasons.
Fan," and he's like, "No, people just think I am."
Which then, that so does happen. Like everybody thinks, like, "Oh my God, do you like one thing?" Or like you mention it once, that's all you ever get.
Does anybody ever do that to you?
Me, like, yeah, so, like, everybody will get me, like, little toy things of Yoda, which I love Yoda. Don't get me wrong, I love Star Wars, guys. But there's only so many toy Yodas that a girl can put on
Yoda
her desk.
Yoda Pez dispensers, Yoda USB drives, Yoda Beanie Babies, all
Dude,
of it.
Yoda that had bubblegum, like, in a bag, so it's a little stuffed Yoda. Yoda bobbleheads. Like, I'm not kidding. But there's only so much room on my desk, I actually do have to get work done.
Before it becomes an obsession.
Yeah.
I had a guy who, okay, so there's this couple that I hung out with that, and they were really nice. They divorced now, God bless them.
Aww.
But
R.I.P.
The husband was like a tattoo artist. He's a really nice guy. They were both really nice people. I like them. But for some reason, the first time we met, he was like a big nerd. Like video games, Star Wars.
Okay.
And he was talking about graphic novels. And as a nice guy who's trying to make conversations, like, oh yeah, Frank Miller did the Killing Joke. Because that's the only thing I know about graphic novels. Batman.
No.
But
yeah.
After that, he assumed that I was like him. So he'd be like, oh, did you hear about the so-and-so new video game? And I'm like, and then I'd have to bullshit even more. And like, because this guy thought I was like on like the same interest
the same
and everything.
Level.
Because I was just trying to be polite. And I was always polite to him. And I think one time I said to his girlfriend or future wife, I was like, you know, I really don't play video games. I don't really read comics.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm kind of a sports and like, I do things with my hands kind of guy.
Oh my God.
But he was like cool about it. He busted my balls about it afterwards. He's a cool guy. But yeah, people kind of like, if they get a scent of blood in one direction,
yeah,
they kind of go
niche.
For it.
Yeah, like our mom with Wizard of Oz.
Oh my God, everybody gives her so much
Yo,
stuff.
Yo, the cow though. So guys, this one here, my mom, She does enjoy The Wizard of Oz. It's one of her favorite movies.
She has all the books and biographies. She's, like, big.
Yeah.
Like, she's not just a fan. DVDs. She's kind of a fanatic.
She has the collective plates, like, all that jazz. But somebody... Ornaments. Yeah, ornaments. But somebody was like, oh, my God, Anne loves The Wizard of Oz, so what am I going to do for her? They found, apparently, some very odd person started this collection. And it's figurine Oz characters.
Yeah, it is a very odd.
And they got her a Glinda cow.
Yeah, it's like the cows in the Chick-fil-A commercials as Glinda the Good Witch.
But it's down on all fours. Like, it's not standing. Like, it's...
Yeah, it's not anthropomorphic in any way. It's literally a cow dressed in as the Good Witch.
It's got the crown on her and everything.
Very odd.
Very strange. That was when she hit her limit. She's like, all right, no more Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, just fuck it.
We're like, no, we have to get all the cows now.
Oh, God. Can you imagine, like, the Winky Guard cow? But, so basically the garage sale kicks off. Dwight opens a garage door. It's freezing. Andy, wrestles him to shut it because it's so cold.
Oh, yeah.
That's your cold open. It's a kind of weak one, actually. It set the table, but there was, no, big punchline.
Yeah.
So, we open the show up. Dwight trades Meredith a thumbtack for her sign for half of a used candle using swapping.
The bartering system.
And he says that by swapping, he is going to walk out with the biggest prize in there today.
I couldn't wait to see it at that point. I was like, I need to see what the most, expensive thing in that place is going to be.
It goes in the direction you would expect it to go. Yeah. I'll say that. So Mike and Holly have their own table, and she has his St. Pauli's girl sign that we know mostly from the dinner party episode. Mike doesn't want to get rid of it because Kevin's offering money.
Yeah.
And Mike's like, I paid $500 for it. I'm getting $5. He thinks he's going to get that much for it. And Holly wants to sell it for $10. It's a whole thing. And then an old lady comes up and asks about the slip and slide, and Michael tells her to get lost.
Because they have a conversation
about the in cases. Yeah. Because Holly's like, well, you could put it in storage just in case. He's like, what? Do you have an in case? She's like, no. Just because they moved in together.
Yeah. Very quickly.
Yeah. So, it's for Michael's bachelor pad and shit. They're discussing their relationship. So Michael calls. Yeah, this is so early. I totally forgot this happened. Michael calls Mr. Flax, Holly's mom, and leaves a message asking...
Dad, you said mom.
Whatever. Mr. Flax. Mr. Partridge Flax. He calls him up and leaves a message basically saying he wants to marry Holly and he's asking for his blessing. Dwight is with Kelly and convinces her to take the half-melted candle for... What are these
as
books?
As a ruse... I have no idea what the books are.
Okay, they're like...
Maybe the Babysitter's Club?
YA books you talked about?
Young adult books.
But he gets her by saying, you get this half-burnt candle, you have Ryan come over, and you say, hey, let's light some candles, and he sees one that's half gone. And he's like, wait, she's seeing somebody else? I better tie her down. And of course, Kelly's like, I'll take it, here you go, take them.
Yep.
And because she's going to manipulate Ryan.
Yep.
So Andy, Daryl, and Kevin find a Dallas board game. Yes.
Although I do love how Dwight goes, nobody wants your spinster tchotchkes.
but she's just like, everybody loves my crap. Screw off. she's not inconsiderate. But Daryl.
Right, Dallas.
Yeah, Daryl, Kevin, and Andy find a Dallas board game with no instructions, but they're going to wing it and you play for money.
Yeah.
Dwight sees Miracle Legumes.
Professor Copperfield's Miracle Legumes.
On Jim's table. And Jim takes them. He's like, these aren't supposed to be here. And he tells a story about how he was in Jamaica, and it was getting dark out, and this guy sold him these. And then Jim felt stupid. He tried to sell them back, but the guy had disappeared after telling Jim things that there's no way he could have known about him.
It's a common swindler's trick.
Yeah, and Dwight just scoffs. But you could tell that, no pun intended, Jim planted the seed
in
Dwight. We see Holly on the phone with her mom, and she hears about Michael's call, but her dad pretty much has dementia.
Oh, my God,
and the mom's not much better. Dude. And they're, passing it around, she can't get a straight answer about anything.
I'd be terrified if I called mom and dad, and that was the response I got.
Oh,
I'm on a plane now.
I would immediately call them in white coats.
Yeah.
So, Pam sees Michael out in the parking lot with gasoline, pouring it on the parking lot, and she, runs out. She knows shit's going down.
Although Hank's face in that part is such a mood.
Oh, yeah, because she's getting coffee at Hank's place.
Yeah.
And
she's which one's decaf?
Yeah, she gets two cups, and she doesn't know which one's decaf, and Hank's he has to go redo him.
He's such a fucking mood.
He's
I love it.
I'm trying to think of the word curmudgeon.
Yes.
He's definitely a curmudgeon. So
anyway, Michael's lighting the
he's
on fire.
Throwing gasoline on there outside. She goes out and is like,
what are you doing?
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to ask Holly to marry me in fire. And Pam takes the stuff away and tells him that he had two ideas today. One was very, very bad, and one was a good one. And they're going to try and figure it out. But, like, she's going to get a hose and wash off the gasoline.
He's like, my hands and my suit are all covered in gasoline. Can you light this?
So ridiculous. So now Dwight is with Ryan, who offers him free samples.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells the story of his mom makes the best pesto sauce. So he, like, pretty much jarred it of 100 jars of it up,
mm-hmm.
and he's selling it, but Phyllis is on the label because she has that motherly look, yeah. like an old Italian grandma God. Or something.
I told my mom I was going to throw a pesto party.
Yeah, he's like, who throws a pesto party? He's such an idiot. Anyway,
then Dwight's like, you got this kosher certified?
And he's just like, no, it means like, oh, it's cool, it's kosher, you know? So Dwight has Stanley's old photo album.
Oh my God.
And you can see like a bit in there, and it's like skinny afro.
Oh, yo, well, Black Panther, isn't that? Yeah, when
he was
earlier?
In the Black Panthers in the one. And
we were doing push-ups and eating whatever we wanted.
And Dwight pretty much says, well, you know, what am I going to do with this? Like, this random photo of a photo journal of a, you know, random black guy. What am I, James Franco? And Ryan's eyes light up like, oh, this is a hipster thing I can do.
Yep.
And Dwight does a talking head where he goes over everything that he traded and swapped, mm-hmm. starting with Meredith to Kelly to Ryan to Creed to... ends with Aaron. Oh, Phyllis. He got something from Phyllis.
Yeah.
And then he ends with Aaron. He got a stuffed squid. That's where he's at right now. So Dwight sees the seeds again and asks Jim about the story again. And Jim's like, Axok all work, like, freaked out. Like, he destroys them and throws them away.
Mm-hmm.
Pam takes Mike to the contents room because they want to hash out the proposal and want to help. It's Ryan, Jim, Oscar, and Pam.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going over everything with Mike. And she puts it perfectly. She said, make sure it's safe, responsible, and realistic. And Oscar says, you want to do it at a nice dinner, get down on one knee. If you're in costumes, you've done it wrong.
Yeah.
You don't want to do it. If you're tying the ring to the collar of a dog, you're doing it the wrong way. Which, people do that now.
Yeah, they do.
Disgusting.
Well, I love how we opened up the ring box and Pam goes, holy shit!
I don't think I got to that part yet.
Oh, never mind. Sorry, guys.
Classic Mare Bear. So Andy,
turn.
Andy, Daryl, and Kevin fight over the rules of Dallas. And Kevin's getting pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, that's not fair.
Share the wealth card is like from the
life. Yeah, it's from the game of life. They're just like making it up. And he says, that's not fair. And Andy, doing his best Texan impression,
yeah.
says, that's Dallas.
Yep.
So Oscar sees his pick on Ryan's salsa now. And Ryan, because his mom makes great salsa
it's
too.
It's like cha-cha-cha.
Hot cha-cha.
Yeah, that's
And it's Oscar with a Photoshop sombrero on
and
his
head. And a pinata.
Yeah, it's so great.
Oh my God.
Holly asks Phyllis about her mom. Like, how did you know it was time to, like, put her away?
Yeah.
And, you know, Phyllis is just like, you kind of have to be proactive about it because you're never going to get a call where they say they can't take care of themselves.
Yeah.
And I have a box of bras under the table,
oh.
which Holly seems weirdly into.
Interested, even though yeah. Phyllis is like twice her size in every way.
I was going to say, Phyllis
cup
is...
size, band
what would you
size,
say Phyllis everything. Is? A matronly, not matronly, what's that word? Like
voluptuous.
Yes. So,
she's a curvy woman.
So back in the room, Pam's going over no animals for the proposal. And Ryan's like, oh yeah, I blogged about that. No animal. Animals are out. And that's when Mike has this idea of throwing a corpse off the roof that looks like him. And what was his line he was going to say? Like, I'm head over, or his head would explode on the pavement or something. And he's like, you blow my mind.
Yeah.
Or something like that. And he's talking about how he
can
go to the morgue and get a body and all this
oh,
shit.
Oh yeah, the medical students.
And that's when Mike pulls out the ring and opens up the box. And it's like glimmering. It's fucking huge. And
yo, it's huge.
Pam just goes, holy shit! And that's when Michael goes, well, it's 3 years' salary,
oh,
right?
My God.
So this thing, thinking about Michael's salary, this thing is like 100 grand.
Yep, at least.
So Jim and Pam tell their proposal story about in the rain at a gas station. And Mike is just mocking it. Oh, bad weather. Oh, a gas station. So romantic. And they kind of get defensive about it.
Yeah.
And then that's when Jim, you know, says, hey, it's okay to be scared because Michael's scared. He's like, I was scared when I was going to ask Pam, even mm-hmm. though I know she was going to say yes.
Yep.
And of course, Pam's like, you were scared. Oh, we're so cute as a button, Jim. That's the Jim and Pam story. Cute
you,
as a button.
You
That's
hate
the book.
Them so
I don't
much.
Hate them. I'm just
yes,
like
you do.
It's just so unrealistic.
You have so much hate for
it's
them.
It's so unrealistic. When every other
Maybe
relationship,
in your relationships.
No, when every other relationship on this show has its ups and downs, like a real one, and Jim and Pam are just like,
or maybe they just don't bring their shit into the office.
No, they were gonna have. They had sex last week. Are you really gonna
but
say
that? But
they
don't bring like their drama. Like they do argue, but they don't like full on fight with each other at the office.
No, but...
I think that they are... You have to remember, these cute, are though. The two that are supposed to be, like, the common sense people it's in the
saccharine.
Office.
It's too saccharine.
No, I just think that they're not fucking psychopaths. Like...
I'm not... Okay. Like, there's Dwight a big difference. Angela. There's a big difference between being too perfect and being a psychopath. There's gray area in there that they should fall... Because even Oscar falls into that. He had his comeuppance episode with the actually shit.
Yeah, but what about Phyllis and Bob Vance?
Nobody ever said they were perfect, and that's perfect. They shouldn't be. They're dirty. I don't know. They're like a seedy couple. I don't trust them. So Mike goes to Holly in the break room, and she tells him she needs to go to Colorado because she wants to be with her dad, and she wants Michael to go.
Mm-hmm.
And she's about...
She's going to ask him, but before she finishes
asking Mike to marry her, he just goes like, ah, no, not here, no, not on, and he walks out.
Yep.
And he does a talking head where he says he will not be asked to marry her in the break room.
Nope.
And he should have burned this place down when he had the chance.
Like the fire outside.
Yep. So Holly is at
That's like a huge meme now.
Is it?
I should have burned this place down when I had the chance.
I believe it. A lot of people are disenfranchised. Yeah. Disillusioned with
like
work.
Like the Piglet and Pooh thing. Like, what day is it? The day we burn this motherfucker down.
I can see your husband saying that exact line. So Holly is at the sale table all mopey. While Andy, Daryl, and Kevin devolve further, the money that was on the table is now gone, and Kevin freaks out and leaves, and Andy and Daryl are like left looking at each other, and then we get talking ahead of Kevin outside counting the money, going, that's Dallas.
Yo, fuck yeah, Kevin.
So Dwight now is walking around with this massive Galileo telescope, like this fucking massive thing.
And it has a tag on it for like, what?
$175?
$150?
Jesus Christ. So he's walking around with it, and he sees the seeds again, and he wants them, and he just takes them.
But he's like, oh, I'll take them off your hands?
He just takes them. As he's walking away, Jim just goes, leave the telescope. And we get a talking head from Dwight where he says, you know, he's talking about the beans.
I worked hard all day.
Yeah, where he says, I ended up with a telescope. I can buy another telescope. he's basically, as he's talking, he's embarrassed about the beans.
Yep, he's realizing he was swindled himself. Yeah.
So Mike is with Holly, and she's like, you know, I shouldn't have said that, blah, blah, blah. She's like trying to like talk about it earlier, and he goes, you know, shh, let's just go for a walk. And so they're walking, they go to Hank's, and Michael says, this is the spot that Toby said he was moving to Costa Rica. It was the happiest day of my life until I found out you were replacing him. So then they're going up the stairs, and that's where they had their first kiss, as well as first lovemaking.
Remember the movie Tried Here?
So they're going through the office. He says, this is the office where I called to tell you I had herpes, and you said that we were over with, even though I loved you. And good thing it was a false alarm on all accounts.
It was an ingrown hair.
So they go to the conference room. They talk about their first meeting together with Michael Klump.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where she found out that Meredith was prostituting herself for steak. And he goes, if the look on your face, because like it...
You were so innocent.
Yeah, well, not. He said something like, you like actually cared or something. Like it was a... Oh, you thought it was surprised. A big deal.
Yeah.
So fucking all awesome. So, then they go to the water cooler where Mike says, I used to come back here and look through the blinds. And
just stare at you.
Just to look at you. So that's when they walk back to the annex. And all the workers are lined up in the kitchen
mm-hmm.
holding candles. And they do a thing where as they're walking down, somebody will walk out and say, Holly, will you marry me? And mm-hmm. she says no. And the first one is Jim. And then it's Stanley. And she says no. And Michael says, that's more than he can handle as it is. Or he has more to handle as it is. Then Oscar steps up and says, will you marry me? She says no. And that's when Michael says, marriage would be a sham. Gabe steps up and says it. Michael says, that's an easy no.
Yep.
Then it's Angela. That would be kind of hot.
I'd like to see that.
Yeah. Ryan steps out. She says no. He says, that's the only one I was kind of worried about. And then they go into her office, like the back of the office.
Excuse me, the annex.
Hiccup.
Yep.
And there's candles lit all around. It looks like a Zen kind of like a massage parlor or something.
Yeah,
it
does.
And
like, all the shit from her desk is moved.
Yeah, everything is just
candles everywhere.
So Michael and Holly kneel down, and he's about to propose to her, and all the sprinklers go off.
Yep.
And that's when he shows her the ring, and they do the Yoda voices. Marry me, will you? Yeah, and she doesn't even do the syntax correctly. She's like, "I because you me yes." Like she's just all
your wife. B and I am.
Yeah,
Will.
It's just
it's
fucked
like,
up.
What?
So then they kiss, and everybody runs out. Everybody's getting wet, and everybody's like congratulating them. And then Michael breaks the news that he's moving to Colorado with her, and everybody. And Kevin goes, "Oh, we're going to Colorado," and Kevin says, "All of us," and like he's like, "No," And then everybody's just like, stops celebrating, and they're just like, Michael's leaving. And then the last scene is Dwight watering 5 empty plants, or empty pots.
Yep.
And he leaves, and then Jim comes out with full, like, shrubberies and replace them to fuck with Dwight even further. And that is the episode.
That was fantastic. That closing scene was fucking fantastic.
Yeah, because Jim even did, like, you remember the old Kick the Habit anti-smoking commercials?
Yes.
He does, like, that kick up with his feet.
Yes,
like,
he does.
It's the one time you see Jim, like, actually mirth. Like, he has mirth.
Yeah.
But so what'd you give this one?
I gave this one a 4.6.
4.5. We're on the same page. This was awesome.
It was.
It was awesome,
like,
because...
And Dallas was funny.
The Dallas stuff was, like, boring.
It was funny, but it was, like, Daryl, Andy, and Kevin, like, we had something for them to do.
Yeah.
Because we didn't really see them at their tables or anything. Mm-hmm. The fucking garage... Like, the whole garage sale thing, the bartering, everything was funny. And it was really nice to see Michael, like, take a walk down romantic lane.
Well, it's funny because, like... Everything that he wanted to do is the opposite of everything. I don't know. Like, they don't kind of say that
there
he
was
swayed.
Fire.
Well, they didn't say he was swayed by anybody to do it that way. It was like, why do you think? Was it just, like, desperation once he found out she was going to move? Is that what it was?
I don't know. I mean, we didn't see the whole scene for the, like, little meeting to see, like, maybe Pam was like, well, maybe this could be it.
Because, like, this seems like a lot for Michael Scott to come up with in, like, 3 hours.
Yeah, I think Pam and Oscar helped a lot.
Yeah,
because... Maybe Jim.
It was, like, that part's left, like, kind of ambiguous.
Yeah.
But overall, that was a good episode.
It was a good
laughed. There was no Toby in this one, was there?
No. He's still on jury duty.
Oh, fuck, that's right. No,
yeah.
Wait, is he?
Yeah, he's still in jury duty.
But
that's
he's in the, isn't
is
he
there.
In the next episode?
Training Day?
I thought it, maybe I'm mistaken.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, for some reason I thought
although
I saw...
Although Holly is not in Training Day, so that could make sense.
She's not? No, she's not. She's gone already, isn't she?
She went
Holy
to
shit, I didn't even think about that.
Yep.
Wow, that blows my mind. Okay, so, yeah, so 4.5 and 4.6, we enjoyed it because it was nice, it was cute, it
Yo,
was funny.
This season is fucking...
I wish,
hitting it out of
you
the
You know
park.
What blows, you know what kind of pisses me off? Is that, like, okay, you need, like, a runway, kind of, to get off the ground. So I look at season 1 and 2 as that. And season 1 and 2 are okay. And 3 was like half. There was like the tale of two seasons.
It was pretty good.
The first half we hated. Like, let's admit, the Stanford stuff. And
oh,
then,
yeah.
Like, we
no,
hated the first
two,
half of that
two,
season.
Wasn't it?
No, that was 3.
Oh, wow.
We hated the first half of season 3.
It's been so long,
season
dude.
4 was only 14 episodes, but it ended really strong.
Yeah.
Season 5, I think we both said, was like the best one.
Yeah.
And season 6 was doldrums. And, like, I just
rough.
Don't understand, like, the unevenness of the show. Because it was always, like, a top 20 rating show. So it was always going to be on. Like, they weren't going to cancel it. So, like, I feel like with that kind of security, the writers, the writing staff and production staff should have, like, taken more
risks.
And I feel like season 7 was that, like, all of a sudden, after 7 fucking years.
Here's
like,
our balls.
Yeah, here we're putting our balls on the table. And we're going to do this, this, and that. And we're going to go here and go there. We're going to do this with this character. Like... This season has been phenomenal.
Yeah.
I don't know how it's going to end, but, like, so far, it's like every week I feel like I'm giving 4 plus stars to these episodes.
Legit.
And it's just like a typical show, if it took that long to get off the runway, it would have been canceled.
Oh my God.
It would have been canceled after the 3rd season, probably.
Like,
this show,
been
I don't
canceled.
Know how this show, I don't know how, like, the fans must have been really dedicated
they
to keep
were.
Tuning in, because, like I said, I tuned out after season 4. Like, I can't believe there aren't more people who did that, because it was rough to get through through season 6. It was rough, but it was worth it for this season so far. So that'll bring us up to season 7, episodes 20, Training Day. But before that, Mare Bear, why don't you let everybody know where they can find us and get in touch with us?
Absolutely, guys. You can always get in touch with us on our Twitter, @BrosisPodcast. We like to keep it funky fresh over there, posting our favorite screen grabs. Follow us. We will follow you back. We are follow whores.
Yes.
Or you can email us at brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com. Kevin, why don't you tell them where they can find us on the cast?
All right, everybody. You can find us wherever you're listening to us right now. You can find us on any podcatcher app, basically. Word on the streets, we're on iTunes, but I say every week I think we're there.
Yeah,
I'm too late. We're too lazy to fucking look. I'm going to be honest. We produce this. But yeah, find us on Spotify, Google Podcast, Anchor, Podbean, Breaker, Podcast Addict, so many more. You can listen to the show there. I want a big shout out to Germany.
Woo-woo.
Germany is a big percentage of our listenership.
God.
So I want to give some love to Germany. Good stuff.
We are on iTunes, everybody. I can finally confirm.
Do we have any
it.
Reviews on there while you're there? Anybody leave a review? Not that you see?
Hey, Hang on.
No, we can't leave dead air. All right, but anyway, you can find us on any podcatcher app. Also, each and every Monday morning, you can find us on the Jenny Position podcast feed. Subscribe to the Jenny Position, where not only will you find us, but you'll find other great shows such as Geek and Sassy, Talk and Pop, Freak Out Drive-In, Journey Through Infinity, and much more. So subscribe today to the Jenny Position. You won't regret it. You'll thank me later, I promise. So anyway, you told them we're on Twitter, right?
Yes, I told them about our Twitter and our Gmail. But again, guys, if you need those handles, it's at brosispodcast or brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com.
All one word. So anyway, everybody, that brings us up to season 7, episode 20, Training Day. Mare Bear, take it away.
Absolutely. So our cold open is Michael sitting at a bar. He says that he is leaving his company and he is meeting the new manager. Now we see Will Ferrell is across the bar and he's like, hey, starting at a new company this week.
The one-liners in this scene are hilarious, though.
Yeah.
Like when Michael says, oh, I'm moving to Colorado. He's like, oh, the Sunshine State.
Yeah, don't mess with Colorado. And he's like, yeah, don't. Just don't. They connected over their love of the Olympics, the Summer Olympics specifically. Mm-hmm. And
everyone I know who skis is dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to end up like Sonny Bobo.
Yeah.
A Sonny Bono reference is fucking hilarious to me. I don't know why.
No, it's because it's so old.
Yeah, it's like 1994, 95. Like
even at the point where this is being aired, it's at least 15 years later. Yeah,
definitely.
So then they're talking for like 20 minutes sitting next to each other. And Michael's like, this guy's so late, I'm going to call him. As he calls him, Will Ferrell introduces himself.
Didn't he introduce himself at this point? No. Okay.
Will Ferrell gets up and he walks over and he's like, oh, I have a call. I'll be right back. They're talking to each other 10 feet away from each other. Mm-hmm. And they finally realize that they are each other. And Michael introduces himself as Michael Scott. And we find out that Will Ferrell is D'Angelo Vickers.
I love the name. I love D'Angelo. The name so much.
So now we see these two. They basically look like two little kids. They go to the office.
It's basically a scene stolen out of Step Brothers.
Yeah.
Like when they're running, when they've become friends and they're running up and down the stairs, like they're running around the office
so
like that.
So much room for activities.
Yeah, it's seriously just like that. It's like they lifted it.
Like Michael is talking, like he lifts his face in front of the camera during a talking head with D'Angelo. Mm. And like they've bonded.
Yeah, we should write a movie.
Yeah, they see each other in each other.
Yeah.
So now, we go to the next day. Kevin walks in wearing his toupee.
And who does he look like?
And his talking head, he goes, who's that? Nope, it's not Ashton Kutcher.
Kutcher.
It's Kevin Malone. Equally handsome, equally smart. And he's wearing his toupee that he wore to Jim and Pam's wedding.
Yep.
So now, Michael walks in and he introduces D'Angelo to everybody. D'Angelo's in Michael's office and, like, opens the blinds.
Yeah, it's like a reveal.
And, so then D'Angelo comes out and he introduces himself and he says, I love the American Southwest.
I do as well.
I have a
big fan.
I have a peanut allergy.
I live with it.
Yeah, I'm comfortable. I'm as comfortable at a ball game as I am the ballet. And I love
opera.
And I love the panda Dwight's face and he's just so unimpressed.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And he's like, did I want to be manager? Yeah, it would have been great. Will I get over it anytime soon? Not likely, but life goes on.
He's tasting those sour grapes.
Right. But, like, can we just talk about the fact that that's, like, a mood for 2020? Will I get over it? Probably not, but life goes on.
Mm-hmm. Like, live with it.
Just deal with it, yeah. So now we see Kelly is dressed to the nine in one of her power suits.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, like, Yale graduate Kelly Kapoor.
She's got her hair up in, like, a classy updo. She's got fake glasses on.
Kelly Kapoor.
Yeah, she drops, like, she, like, bumps into D'Angelo and drops all these file folders, which she's in customer service.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't have that many. And, she, as D'Angelo's like, oh, let me help you, and she's like, oh, thank you so much. People around here don't help me ever. And she, like, slyly pulls her hair out of the updo, takes her glasses off. She's like, have we met yet? And she says that that's what it's a meet cute is.
Yeah. Like, so, out of a rom-com.
Yeah. So now, Michael is telling the whole office about how him and D'Angelo took, like, a half hour to realize who each other were last night.
Everybody hates it.
Yo, everybody's like, that sounds so stupid. That's such an embarrassing story.
You sound like an idiot, Mike.
Yeah. And then D'Angelo walks in. He's like, oh, I was just telling them how we met. And D'Angelo says, like, literally the same thing, and they all laugh.
Oh, yeah, they're all brown
nosing. So you can already tell the tides have turned.
Yeah, Michael's got the what the fuck face on.
Yeah, and Andy says something like, oh, that's why I always have name tags. And D'Angelo's like, oh, you're the office funny guy. Funny guy. Okay.
Andy is just like, okay, I can be.
Yeah, sure. that works. So now Michael introduces Jim and Pam.
what does he call their name? Jim and Pam?
Jap.
Which is totally offensive.
Yes,
but he doesn't realize it.
He's just almost like, as bad as Ping.
He's just like Jim and Pam.
Yeah, Jap.
So bad.
And he says that they're affair blossomed into a marriage and that they have a baby. And D'Angelo says, oh, I have four kids myself. So Jim and Pam think that they've gotten in with the kid.
Oh, angle. They are so smarmy here, aren't they?
No, they are.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, you got a cute kid, D'Angelo? Who's in the club?
Oh, yeah, like, they do a talking head where they're just like, oh, we're so using this. Yeah. We're scumbags, too.
Oh, my God. So now Dwight and Michael.
Yeah, well, how does Dwight get Michael out into the
favorite.
Hallway?
This is my favorite. So they're out of the hallway, and Michael goes, all right, where's the turtle? And Dwight goes, there is no turtle, Michael. I led you out here under the guise of a turtle. And Michael's like, now I have to Google turtles, or else I'm going to be off for the rest of the day.
Michael's love of turtles.
Which just takes you back to when he gave the gift baskets out. Where are the turtles? So now, Dwight says that, like, listen, I know you like turtles, because I was your right-hand man. I can't do it to another guy again. Why didn't they take your recommendation for me to be manager seriously? And Michael's face is just like, I don't know.
You could see immediately Michael did not recommend Dwight.
He did not. So now everybody, here's the thing. Everybody's just kissing.
This is hilarious because of Stanley.
Yeah.
And Stanley's like so fake.
Oh, he's smiling,
and his
guys.
Big orange sweater.
Yeah, he's smiling. Everybody's just kissing D'Angelo's ass.
Because D'Angelo's eating an apple, and he's like talking about how his caloric intake is 1,200 calories a day. And that's when Stanley's smiling just goes, oh, D'Angelo, you're going to starve yourself.
You're going to waste away to nothing.
He's hilarious.
Daryl is like, oh, the southwestern region is my favorite region. Too.
My favorite region.
Yeah. Goes, the desert is my favorite climate.
No, ecosystem. Yeah, it's so great.
God. And then Daryl does a talking head and he's like, the Southwest is my favorite region. What the hell's wrong with me? That does sound good.
Yeah, Daryl is the low-key MVP of this episode because there's a scene
we'll
later.
Get there. Oh, it's we'll fucking get there. Great. So now everybody is impressed, like, by D'Angelo's, like, experience and his love of all things Southwestern.
Yes.
And Kevin goes, hey, D'Angelo, don't you hate bald people? I do, too.
Yeah, Kevin's just like, fuck bald people, right? But just
and D'Angelo's like,
asses.
What? So now D'Angelo is walking back to the office, and Aaron answers the phone, and he asks Aaron why she uses her name to answer the phone.
Dunder Mifflin, this is Aaron.
Yeah, and basically he tells her not to.
Yeah.
Dunder Mifflin, how may I assist you? And Aaron's like, oh, assist.
It's a new word. That's part of her New Year's resolution.
What was that one?
Immensely.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it immensely. So now, Michael, this is where the tide starts to turn, and he's having a hard time letting go.
We get little boy Michael here.
Yeah, he's like, no, you can just keep it the way it was. And D'Angelo, rightfully so in this part, he's like, well, I gotta start managing at some point, right, dude?
Yep.
And Michael's just like,
They get into a big thing.
Do it the old way. Where Michael, the new way.
Michael wants to do it the old way. D'Angelo wants it the new way. Gabe is in the back going, just change it.
Yeah.
Trying to call, like, let Aaron know.
And then Aaron, the poor thing, the phone rings, and she basically malfunctions like a wet robot.
Oh, it's so great, yeah.
She's like, I'm so sorry, and just hangs up the phone.
It's fucking awesome.
The poor thing malfunctions. And because D'Angelo and Michael are both like this. Like,
yeah, oh, they're like right
punched
in her
face,
right in
waiting
her grill.
To see what she's going to do, what boss she's going to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
So now, D'Angelo walks by Andy's desk and he goes, it's the afternoon slump, funny man. Why don't you make me laugh? So now Andy starts with an obviously racist joke.
Yeah.
What does the African American call?
And then he starts like panicking. And Stanley's
like,
staring daggers through him.
Stanley's staring at him. Daryl's like standing in the
Daryl comes
like,
out of his office
fuck?
To hear the joke.
Yeah. And then a barber shows up.
Yeah.
And
Saved by the Bell, man.
Yeah. And so he's like, oh, we'll keep that keep that on the line for later.
Yep.
So now he walks away to the barber, and everybody's like, oh, wow, look, a barber. That's such a bold move. And Daryl goes, so, Andy, what does the African-American call what?
You know what?
And Andy, like, panics. He's like, I don't know. I panicked. Help me. Give me a joke. Yeah. Help me.
You know what? It's funny because, like, D'Angelo was ready to laugh his ass off at this joke.
Oh,
you think they would have, like, turned their sights towards him? But no, they're just like, hey, Andy. Who's obviously, like, sweating because he doesn't know what to say. He's not the funny man.
Exactly. So now, because everybody thinks it's such a power move to have a barber come in...
To shave him. Just Michael, to shave him, not even a haircut. Yeah.
Michael goes out and buys shaving cream and throwaway razors and makes Aaron shave him. Yikes. So now...
They go into the office. He sits next to D'Angelo.
I keep on forgetting his name is D'Angelo.
D'Angelo. You keep calling him Will Ferrell. Do you have Will Ferrell written
down? No, I have D.A. D'Angelo. So D'Angelo calls a rap session with a smaller group while he's getting shaved.
Yeah, like the Godfather or something.
Seriously. And it's Pam, Jim, Dwight, Kelly, and Oscar. And Jim and Pam immediately try to kiss up with baby photos.
So gross.
Yo, D'Angelo shuts them the fuck down. He's like, I don't care. It does not matter to me.
I should note that before Michael goes in, it's just D'Angelo and the barber. D'Angelo just starts telling the story. He goes, I saw a hawk today.
Just standing there, right on the overpass.
Just on the overpass, staring at me. I don't know why. Like, shit like that, it's funny to me.
It's so random.
I know you think it's stupid.
No,
but like,
no, it's just so random. It's like, I saw Robin today.
Because, like, I know people who talk like this.
Really?
Oh, God, yeah. The people who think, like, everything they do is, like, a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll say, like, these random non sequiturs and sentence fragments that are just fucking hilarious.
Yeah,
me.
No, you're right. You're right. So, anyway.
Yeah, D'Angelo shuts Jim and Pam down.
Yo, he's like, I don't give a shit about your baby. That's basically what he said. And I know what you're doing. Just stop.
Just stop. Just stop. And they're just like, oh.
Yeah,
and
they're
they
like disappointed.
Yep.
And Oscar mentions that communication needs improvement because some people write urgent on every memo.
Yeah.
And Michael like defends himself. He's like, there's urgent A, B, D, C, and D. Urgent A is obviously the most important. Urgent D is like, it doesn't matter if you read it or
He's so offended that after he tells everybody, yo, it's not perfect here. If you got suggestions, let D'Angelo know.
So now Andy is in the kitchen, and D'Angelo wants another
funny joke. What is D'Angelo eating? It looks like he's eating a corn husk or something. I should go back and watch.
Right? I don't know what the hell he's eating, but it's got to be under 1,200 calories. he's in the break room.
Yeah, he's in the break. He's
eating. It looks like he's eating, like, a stalk of romaine lettuce.
Is that what it... Okay, he's getting
That's
his
what
roughage.
It looks like, yeah.
So ridiculous.
And, sorry, I was in the wrong scene in my head.
No, you're fine.
But,
Yeah, he's in the break room, and Andy walks
he
in.
He tells a joke about Washington, D.C., and the Democrats versus Republicans want certain types of cars. And he's like, it's funny, in a city that's known for its gridlock.
Yeah, they're talking about cars.
And D'Angelo's like, I don't want to get into politics here.
Yeah, that's not funny to me.
Yeah.
Be funny guy.
Be funny guy. So then Andy, of course, gets nervous. And
he puts his hand down on the table, and the table flips from his weight.
Like,
and he just goes down. It wasn't planned that
way. It wasn't
way.
Intentional, but it looked really intentional by the actor.
He became Charlie Chaplin.
That's who I was trying to think of. Like,
yeah.
What physical comedian did he look like? Almost like Jim Carrey in Liar, Liar.
Yeah, where he was just, like, spastic.
Yeah, exactly. But D'Angelo laughs his fucking ass off when Andy
he thinks
falls
it's so
and
great.
Everything happens. So Andy's like, all right, physical comedy it is. So now D'Angelo's personal effects arrive.
Who's the first one through the door to help him?
Ryan, I think.
No, it's Stanley.
Oh, my
Stanley
God.
Bursts through the door and goes, oh, you need help, D'Angelo? He's so happy. He's smiling. Stanley's so killer.
Oh, Stanley. Him and Daryl, MVPs
of the show. Oh, so hilarious. Just because they're out of their element.
Yeah.
It's great.
So now all the things arrive and they start bringing them out and there's like a southwestern
painting. Oh, it's a beautiful sunset, man.
It is beautiful. Oh. I'd love for you to paint me that.
I, one day.
And Michael's kind of like, hey guys, you can't take all that out yet.
It's
I still
office.
Have to be in here too.
Yeah.
It's got a feng shui thing going on here. And then they bring out a 10-gallon hat. And D'Angelo's like, yeah, the funny thing is it can't fit 10 gallons in there.
He's like so wise and sage.
Fucking ridiculous. So now Michael's in talking head and he's like, I love the guy. I just don't think he's a good fit anymore, and I really don't like him.
Talks bad.
So now we're... Oh, my God. This is
awesome.
A great scene.
Yeah.
In the parking lot, we see Daryl run out, and his sister, who we met in a previous episode, hands him a pair of cowboy boots.
Yes.
And then he turns and walks away, and she goes, Daryl! And she holds up two two toy Western guns, yeah, like sheriff guns.
With like the holster.
Yeah. And she was like, you want this? And he goes, nah, keep it. And he just runs.
So awesome.
But seeing the little toy guns, like she bought them seriously. Yeah, she's like,
oh, he's going to be a cowboy. Here we go. So awesome.
So now Andy, again, he's basically just resorted to miming.
Yeah, they're in the break room again, the kitchen.
They're in the kitchen, and he does like he's like, "Hey, funny guy, tell me a joke." So Andy's literally like doing the miming, like pulling the rope, and then just a physical comedy, like sticks his hand in the toaster.
Well, he's doing the mime shit, and D'Angelo's like not budging. He's just like not impressed.
Yeah,
that's when Andy's just like, "Oh,
all right." He sticks his hand in the toaster and like pretends to get electrocuted.
It's cheese balls everywhere.
Yeah, and then he spills hot coffee on his crotch, and then D'Angelo is like laughing. He's like, "That's hot coffee."
This is the best part.
And then he goes, drink the soap.
Yeah, he gives him a
like,
soap
dude,
dispenser.
He's a fucking sadomasochist.
He gives him the dispenser of hand soap, and he's like, eat the soap.
He's a fucking masochist, eat the soap. Like, he was totally serious, too.
And Andy just, like, squirts it in his mouth. He's like, ugh! Yeah. And D'Angelo's just losing his shit.
Dude, and Andy's like, I guess this is my life now.
He's a court jester.
Oh, my God.
It's fucking hilarious.
So now, Dwight asks Gabe how to become a manager at Sabre. And Gabe is like, thank you so much for coming to me instead of going through corporate, which Dwight already left a message at corporate. So now he says, well, you know, you just need to get a letter of recommendation from Michael. That will go really far. It'll put you at the top of the list for another management position. And Dwight goes, well, what's wrong with the one you guys have on file? And that's when we find out Michael not only didn't recommend him for the job, but never even, like, wrote a recommendation for him.
And here's where I ask the question. Did Michael do that on purpose, or did he just harebrained forget to do it?
I think he didn't think Dwight was ready yet.
Okay, that's how I think. I think Michael did it on purpose.
Yeah,
and just, like,
just because of the look
service.
On his face before. Yeah. So now, D'Angelo is holding court out in the office, like, making everybody giggle, and Michael brings out a tray of sandwiches, his mom's recipe, PB&J, and he starts handing them out, and everybody's like, oh my god, Michael, D'Angelo's allergic to nuts. So then Michael's like, oh, he'll be fine. Kevin throws a sandwich. Kevin's standing next to D'Angelo. He throws a sandwich, and Kevin catches it in his mouth.
Oh, yeah, like a well-trained pooch.
Oh my god, it's amazing.
It's awesome.
So now, then we come to find out, because D'Angelo's, like, freaking out, and he's like, the last time I was exposed to a peanut, I became so itchy, I missed the O.J. verdict.
Yeah, I had to take bats continually. I missed the O.J. verdict. I had to read it in the newspaper like an idiot.
So then Jim's like, so wait, you don't, like, go into anaphylactic shock or die, like, you just get itchy? And D'Angelo's like, yeah, Jim, it's my lot in life. Like, something like
that. Yeah, not everything's life and death. I just like to be comfortable.
Yeah. And so as Michael is again throwing these sandwiches around, he, like, slams
D'Angelo
it down.
D'Angelo bats it down with a book.
Yeah, and he's like, you're getting peanut particles everywhere! Runs into the conference room and calls a mandatory multi-purpose room meeting.
Not conference room.
Ooh, that made my blood boil.
That's school. Isn't that high school, the multi-purpose room? Yeah.
So now, Michael tells everybody to stay out there, but everybody's like, Michael, like, he's our new boss. Mm-hmm. Like, we have to. Daryl walks in head-to-toe cowboy
gear. He's wearing flannel, Levi's, boots.
He looks like somebody from Oklahoma.
Yeah, he looks like Will, what's his name, from Oklahoma?
Will Turner.
Will Turner. Is that his name? No, it's not Will. It's Will something. Oh, my God, it's going to kill me. How many times did I watch that fucking movie? What's the good? Curly!
Curly!
He looks like Curly. There,
oh,
I'll go with
Curly!
That. Curly. Anyway, yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, guys. So, basically, even, like, he's like, oh, well, at least I still have you, Dwight. And Dwight's like, false, you had me.
Yeah.
And he walks in and he goes, let's have a multi-purpose room meeting. And so then Michael's like,
that's
really
when
upset.
Jim tells him.
Oh, yeah, he's like, dude, he's our new boss. Like,
we gotta do this.
You
can't,
know,
like,
we
keep
do.
Us out. Yeah.
Yeah, you know we have to do this. So now D'Angelo leaves the meeting and walks over to Michael after Michael throws all the sandwiches in the garbage and he's, like, walking out of the office. And he asks him about meeting protocol. Like, do you guys just jump in or, like, what? And Michael, at first, he's like, get some characters, talk to them. And then he's like, you know what? You'll be fine. Do it yourself. And D'Angelo, like, he wants to hug. And Michael won't hug him. So D'Angelo walks away. Michael runs up behind him and hugs him from behind. And
Packer style.
Yeah. And they basically just compliment each other.
Without looking at each other. Like,
yeah.
Michael's behind him. They're not
making eye contact. And D'Angelo's arms are
like grabbing Michael's ass. Yeah.
Yeah. And they just compliment each other. And then D'Angelo goes, what's the Native American girl's name again?
I don't know if he thinks because of her looks or because he thinks that she, instead of saying Indian, because mm-hmm. she's really Indian, if he's like, oh, Native American is the proper terminology.
Yeah,
it's a multi-layered joke, which makes it funny.
So now, Jim and Pam have brought Cece into the office, and they're like, oh, we wanted you to meet Cece, D'Angelo. And he's like, no, that's a cute baby. That's cute baby. Adorable.
Yeah.
And so they're like, we're back in, baby. He just needed to meet her, and da-da-da-da-da. And then D'Angelo gives a talking head, and he goes, that baby could be the star of a show called Babies I Don't Care About.
I agree, D'Angelo. What'd you give this one, Bear? Come on, let's hear it.
A 2.8.
I gave it a 4.2. I loved it. I thought it was great. Why did you hate it?
Okay.
We're going to talk about it. We're going to have a rap session right now.
Okay. So I think that Will Ferrell and Steve Carell are two powerhouses of comedy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that they worked well together.
Why not?
In this episode. It wasn't funny to me.
What wasn't funny?
Their chemistry, their back and forth, like, they're supposed to be friends, and then, like, Michael's jealousy comes out. But D'Angelo is so stupid, I don't see how anybody could even pretend to respect them. Nobody respected Michael, ever.
I don't look at D'Angelo as stupid. I look at D'Angelo as, like, neurotic.
He's ridiculous.
How so? What did he do that was quote-unquote stupid in this episode?
Well, not knowing who the fuck Michael was, even though he left a job, he's going to a job.
Michael didn't know who he was.
That's what I mean, though. We know Michael is stupid.
Well, they don't know what each other looks like, though. Times. They don't know what each other looks like. And Mike never said, I work at Sabre or whatever.
Yeah, okay. But anyway, after that being a masochist and making Andy eat soap and spill coffee on himself.
It's not stupid. Just means he knows what he likes.
Maybe it was just the way he delivered it. It reminded me too much of his character from Step Brothers, and that made it not funny. It made it, like...
Really?
It made it... Yeah. It was derivative. Like reheated...
Yeah.
Reheated pizza. It's I never gotcha. As good.
No, it's not. It's a cold pizza's
it's
better.
Still good. It's still good. Cold it's just better. Not as good.
No, see, I liked it... I didn't look at them as, like, sharing the screen together, because they're different characters, and they start off, like I said, that Step Brothers kind of chemistry,
mm-hmm.
and as it goes, and Michael gets jealous, even though he shouldn't be, he's leaving, it becomes different, like, D'Angelo gets a darker edge,
yeah.
which, he has a darkness that Michael doesn't have.
Yeah.
So, he has a darkness that most characters on the show don't have. At least that's how it comes across in this one, where he hates the baby, he wants to see Andy, like, get hurt.
Yeah.
I kind of like it, to be honest. It's a different vibe. And I think that the characters see that, and that's why they're brown-nosing.
Mm.
It's because they're like, oh, this guy's a little off.
Yeah.
Like, if he's getting along with Michael, and B, the shit that's coming out of his mouth is crazy. Yeah. So, like, when Charles was there, the women acted a certain way,
mm-hmm.
and the men acted a certain way, and especially because he was a hard ass.
Yeah.
So they knew they needed to have results, especially since the branch might close and everything like that. So they were more in line in that. This one, they're getting a feeling out and they're brown-nosing because they feared that he's insane.
Yeah.
So it's like different from Charles. It's different from Michael. It's different because Michael is like a puppy dog. They know they all know how to work him.
Yeah.
So they're just trying to figure out how to work this guy because everybody on the show is manipulative.
Yeah.
Like Jim and Pam are in this episode are Machiavellian.
They're absolutely.
Oh, well, we'll get to him with our baby.
Yeah.
Like what they're doing is no different than what Kelly did.
No. Or Stanley. And I'm not saying that they are different.
No.
I'm not defending Jim and Pam in any way, shape, or form.
No, but I'm just saying like the character brings a different vibe that is cool. Like after 7 seasons, the show kind of needs it. You know
no,
what I mean?
There's
only so many times
you
can see Michael fuck up.
And a 2.8 for me isn't bad.
Yeah, it is.
You have to
because
remember.
You never go that low. So you went that low for a reason. What about D'Angelo?
Listen, I originally had this as a 3.7 episode.
Why did you downgrade the second watch?
After
what about
I watched
the second watch?
The second watch, it was, like I said, it just felt like it was reheated pizza. Or
you reheated didn't feel like
fries.
That the first time?
No.
Maybe it was just watching it a second time then.
I don't know. Maybe it was just too
do you
much
just say,
at
okay,
once.
You've watched the series before.
Mm-hmm.
I have not. These are new to me.
Yes.
I mean, I watched them 10, 11 years ago, whatever. What do you just hate D'Angelo? Because
no,
I don't know where this character's
funny,
going.
There are funny things that D'Angelo does.
Okay.
There are.
So it's not...
It gets more ridiculous. Because
I'll be 100% like honest.
I didn't like the chemistry between Michael and D'Angelo.
It's a Will Ferrell character.
Yes.
Like, it's not like Will Ferrell's going out on a limb here.
And I like Will Ferrell. I enjoy his movies. I think his shit is funny.
Some of them.
Yeah. I think, he's funny. Like, I love Step Brothers.
And Anchorman.
So me saying Step Brothers isn't an insult.
Anchorman 2 sucks.
Though. Yeah.
Although I will say, I watched it recently, and I was like, it's not horrid
it's not
like
as
I thought,
awful
but it's still
you
not good.
It.
It's still not good.
Yeah, but it's just I didn't enjoy their chemistry in this episode. Maybe it was the office environment I didn't like because I know that the next episode I really enjoy.
What's the name of it? Before we go,
Michael's Last Dundies.
Oh yeah, yeah, okay. And then what's after that?
Goodbye, Michael.
And that's what we'll be doing next week.
Yes,
we'll be
sir.
Saying goodbye to Michael Gary Scott.
Goodbye, Michael. It's been nice.
Oh, I can't wait to watch these and give my input.
Yes.
Ooh, I'm very excited. Because this is going to go one of two ways now. As someone, you're a veteran, I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
I see this going one of two ways. The series should end here, or the series should be canceled. I don't know where it's going to go, but we'll find out.
What's really sad is, it kind of just recently came out that, he didn't want to leave, but nobody really talked to him about, staying. So
just assumed he was going to do movies?
Well, he was like, nobody seemed excited about me coming back. He's like, so I kind of just made the decision to leave and nobody tried to convince me to stay.
Well, they wanted him to leave. Maybe because they realized there's nothing more you can do with Michael Scott.
Damn.
That's how I feel about it.
Damn it, Daniel.
No, I think that season 7 was kind of like the last gasp of this character. Because through the first 6 seasons, I was...
It
was schizophrenic.
Impressed.
I was all over the place. I was I fucking hate it. I think it's the worst character ever written. Or I'm like, oh, it's funny. I was never like, oh, great God, yes, this
True
is awesome.
That. True that.
So I think season 7 was kind of like I said before, they put their balls on the table. They're like, we're going all the way.
Yeah.
And I really don't think there's much else I could have done with him after this season anyway. So I'm happy for it. It worked out for the best. It's like, I can't imagine...
2 more seasons of him?
Yeah, honestly.
They, won't they with Holly?
Oh, God. I'm glad that's finally over. I'm glad they're getting married. Whatever. They're gone. So, no more lame-ass Holly Flax. Now we get to focus on other shit like Aaron and Andy.
Yeah. Yay. And Gabe.
So that'll be it for this week. Next week, we're going to cover those 2 episodes.
Yes. 21 and 22. Michael's Last Dundies and Goodbye, Michael.
So, guys, in the meantime, until the next show, you can go back and listen to our show on any podcatcher app out there that you prefer.
Share it with your friends.
Share it with your family. Share it with your acquaintances, your neighbors, your coworkers, whoever.
Damn
go
straight.
Back and listen to old episodes. Send them out to other people. Share it around. That would be great. You can find us on the Jenny Position podcast feed each and every Monday, as well as all the other great shows I told you about. Subscribe today to the Jenny Position. And if you want to get in touch with us, go on Twitter at @BroSaysPodcast. You'll find us there. We'll follow you back because we are whores.
We always post our favorite screen grabs.
Oh, screen
and this
grabs,
one has
yes.
them.
We have a bunch. Trust me. And also, you can email the show if you have longer form feedback, questions, concerns, comments, or suggestions at brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com. All one word.
Woo!
I think that's it.
That's all, dude. That's all she wrote.
We'll catch you all on down the road.
Thanks, guys.